I know our governor is trying to make incentives for businesses to create childcare options within their facilities in order to get more moms back to work, get more women back into the workforce after they have children. If you look at national statistics showing how much of a problem this is, it's pretty clear. According to national data, mothers are 40% more likely than fathers to report that childcare issues harmed their careers. 23% of working parents say they've been treated as if they are not committed to their work because they have children. And the statistics go on and on, proving that as soon as a woman has a child, it is exponentially harder for them to take a little bit of time off and return to their job or to their career path because they were focused on their kids for a short amount of time and needed that time to be able to be a mom. And then when they want to come back to work, that opportunity is very difficult for them. And so either they don't do it, or they settle for a career that just doesn't excite them or challenge them or is up to their standards. And a lot of that is because, again, it's really hard. As a mom myself, it's really hard to find your career path after you take a little bit of a break because you had children. And so I'm really applauding these two women and creating Found Her, which is kind of a fun play on words, founder, but Found Her, recruiting with a purpose. Joining me now, Runa Knapp, who is a co-founder and chief business development officer at Found Her, as well as Jasmine Silver, who is another co-founder and chief operating officer at Found Her right here in Connecticut. Ladies, thank you for being on the show. So glad to have you both here. How are you?
We're good. Thanks so much for having us, Melissa. This is Jasmine, by the way. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Jasmine.
And this is Runa.
There we go. Hi,
nice
Runa. Yes, of course.
I'm here too.
I'm glad to have you both here. By the way, I didn't even mention, both from Westport, so super local, and I love the work that you're both doing as entrepreneurs. Let me start with you, Jasmine, because it's a little bit harder when I don't have you both in studio. But Jasmine, we'll start with you. Why start Found Her? When did it begin, and why start this journey with Runa?
Yeah, it's such a good question. And, you know, you touched on that in your intro as well. I was a lawyer for years in New York City, and I took a little bit of time off to, you know, have my children. I actually wasn't offered paid maternity leave. So it was kind of a decision that I made to leave my job for a bit to take care of my kids. And it's really hard, both logistically and mentally, to kind of jump back in when you're ready to reenter the workforce. And Runa can tell her own story in a moment, but when, you know, we met each other, we both kind of agreed on that and said, there's a real dearth of resources out there for mothers like us who want to reenter the workforce. And so we decided to pair up, use both of our corporate backgrounds and create a company that helps mothers like us returning to the workforce.
Wow.
And so, I had a similar story, Melissa. This is Runa. You know, I was working part-time the last 4 years I was there. But again, it just got to a point where because of personal obligations, I had to take a step back. And it was so nice to meet Jasmine when I did, because both of us were looking to get back in. But like you mentioned, it was really hard to find that perfect opportunity. And so it's been great 4 years of just helping women get back into roles that, you know, are not a step down, are still flexible, are local, whatever it may be, but work for their lifestyle.
So apologies, Runa. It dipped out for a quick second, your service. Where were you working before you took time off?
I was at KPMG.
Okay.
Which is a big public accounting firm.
Okay. Wow. So both of you with pretty, you know, I would say pretty big job titles, walked away because you wanted to be moms. And what was that experience like when you wanted to return? I mean, was it just, hey, you'd have to start from scratch, we're not really interested, or hey, you don't seem committed? Like, what was that sort of like for you both?
You know, well, first of all, this was before COVID, before people were kind of working from home and before flexibility in the workplace was such a big topic. Mm-hmm. So, you know, at that point, like, I had moved out to Connecticut from New York City. So it was, you know, am I going to commute now an hour and a half into the city when my husband's also commuting and travels and all of that? So that was a question. And then there's also just the confidence issue that I think a lot of women face. which is, oh, I've been out for 3-4 years, which was my experience. You know, what do I still have to offer? What have I done in the past 3 or 4 years that's relevant? And of course, you know, we talk to so many mothers like us every day. You do so much in that time off. Nobody's just sitting home, you know, kicking their feet up, not doing any relevant work.
It's literally
work.
Why you take time off, because you're working. Just for the record, anybody exactly. who thinks we're taking time off, it's really hard. So, yes. Yes.
Exactly. So kind of just building up that confidence is really important, that you do still have a lot to offer. And even a few years off doesn't make much of a difference in most fields.
Mm-hmm. So we're talking to Jasmine and Runa, the co-founders of Found Her, Recruiting with Purpose, both from Westport, Connecticut. Runa, tell us, what is Found Her if people haven't heard of your business?
Sure. We are a full-service recruiting firm. We are B Corp certified. And we, you know, we are the ones who are working with our clients. Again, they have to have some sort of flexible policies in place. We help source the right candidates to fill their roles. And we help not only women who are returning into the workforce, but also professional women who are looking for local opportunities. I mean, we've helped men in the past as well, but that is our bread and butter, really, those returners who are looking to get back in. So we operate to it as a typical recruiting firm would.
Do you have like a massive network of different companies from different industries, or how do you help so many different people with different workforce backgrounds?
So on the candidate side, we have everything under the sun. I would say from the client side, who are a lot of financial services companies, we have law firms, but then we'll have our marketing agencies, we'll have our nonprofits. Typically, the roles we fill are in the operations realm, but even if a candidate comes to us and they don't, you know, we might not have the right position for them at the time, Jasmine and I are truly passionate about helping every single one of our candidates. We have conversations with every single one, and we're talking thousands, and, you know, we just help them through their job search and, you know, whether it's just giving them advice, okay, what's the number one thing you have to do? Let's network first. Once you've exhausted all your networking efforts, what do you need to do? How do you apply? How do you best position yourself? Is your resume up to date? So we're really helping them through the whole process, giving them guidance, and always asking them to come back and follow up with us whenever they have questions.
We have Runa Knapp here, as well as Jasmine Silver, both co-founders of Found Her, which is a recruitment business. Both women, Westport mothers, had corporate jobs, walked away from them because they were moms, newly became moms, and realized they had this connection because it was incredibly hard after a couple years to re-enter the workforce in doing the jobs that they were doing before they had children. You know, ladies, I was wondering if you could comment on this. I remember, so I've been working now in news for over a decade. When I married my husband, the two of us a year after we got married sat down, and my husband was itching to have kids. I mean, we've been together for 15 years. So he was itching to have kids. We were in our upper 20s, and I'll never forget this conversation. We sat down at the dinner table. He said, Melissa, I'm ready to start trying to have a kid. And I remember saying to him, yeah, but here's the thing. I've been told over all of my jobs and news that when you're ready to have a kid, be ready to let go of your career, not just your career in general. Like, you will never enter the news industry ever again. And I will never forget time and time again being told by other women that there is no way, if you walk away from the broadcasting industry, you will never, ever get a job in broadcasting again. And so I had said that to my husband. I was like, can we wait till we're in our 30s? Like, I want to at least feel like I got my degree's worth and feel okay about walking away. Turns out, had our son very quickly after that, and I took almost a year and a half off and then landed this job in radio broadcast, probably the best job I've had in all of my broadcasting career. So my point of telling that story is that common? Do a lot of women tell other women in the workplace, or, I mean, I'll even throw men in there, do people put that perception out there that if you walk away because of kids, you're not getting back in, it's really not going to be that simple?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a perception that that is the case. Funny enough, you know, I think I had those same conversations in my 20s when people told me that, as a lawyer especially, because the hours are so demanding, and I just sort of tuned it out. And I was like, no, it'll be fine. You know, I had all this confidence that kind of it would all work out and it would be fine. And I think if you're fine, You got to hold on to your confidence, you know. So if you were out for a year and a half, there's no reason why you shouldn't have felt perfectly confident, you know, jumping back in. I think it starts to erode a little bit when you're out 5 years, 7 years, 10 years. You know, then it's just a little bit harder mentally to jump back in. But the great thing about our company is that the clients that we work with come to us specifically because they want this untapped talent. They want to interview and learn about these women who've been out of the workforce for a couple of years because they haven't been out there, you know, using their talents. And so a lot of these companies that come to us are actually really excited about this specific talent pool because they're super hardworking, multitasking, you know, all of those great things that we know, you know, all of those great attributes that we know moms have. And companies actually want that. So I think now it's definitely better than when I was having my children, you know, a decade ago. And it also is dependent on industry. I can see, you know, the news industry being really challenging. The legal field that I was in doesn't change much. You know, you just kind of have to like put the work in. And if you jump back in, even after years off, nothing changes much. So it's
interesting.
It's industry dependent also. And it just also depends on your confidence. You know, how confident are you going back in that your skills are, you know, still up to date and everything.
So, Jasmine, what types of skills would you say are most in demand? What do you tell your clients?
So we tell our candidates that, you know, the things that are most in demand are kind of these like soup to nuts roles. So if you can go in, you can strategize and you can execute, you know, you have to be able to kind of do it all, like not just, oh, well, I left my career a few years ago and I was in this, you know, leadership role, so I haven't done kind of the nitty gritty in years. Companies really want to see people who can do it all. So I feel like those specific talents are really in demand. And then, you know, you always stay up to date on kind of the things that change, which are like Microsoft Office, which doesn't change necessarily, but it's like you want to be up to date with your Excel and your PowerPoint and like whatever, and CRM systems and things like that, that, you know, do change. You want to make sure that you're up to date with that. And those things are really in demand.
Why would you say, Runa, that moms are great workers?
Well, I think we all have the universal superpower of the ability to multitask. So I think that's really important in the workforce. And no matter what industry we're serving, that's always a job description. I think, you know, generally, and this is a bit of a, you know, generalization here, but you know, being empathetic leaders, that really helps as well in the workforce. And there's such a big push on that now, too. So I just think that all the skills that we've, you know, gathered during this time of being home with our kids or just being mothers in general really do translate well into the workforce. And, you know, and Jasmine talked on this earlier about whether there was any pushback or, hey, you guys can't return, et cetera. I never really got that pushback, to be honest. It was very like a easy kind of transition back in that even had I been out 5-7 years, it would have been, you know, I would have just been as easily reentering the workforce without saying, hey, you've lost this X amount of years. Mm-hmm. And it's simply because all the skills you do really acquire during that time off are still relevant into the workforce today.
Mm-hmm. And I think employers know mothers, you know, we have no time to waste. We get in, we get the job done, we're efficient, we're quick, we're excited to get out there and work and do something different. So, you know, there's that aspect as well.
Yeah. And I think what you're both really channeling is the fact that there's a lot of false opinions and feelings out there and lack of confidence for so many women after having children, not just in the workforce, but just in general. You know, like we lack confidence in ourselves just as people, let alone what our careers are going to be next. And so I think this is such an amazing tool that people, especially here in Connecticut, moms, if you want to reach out to Found Her, I think this sounds like such a great resource for people. Where can they find you if people want to learn more information or contact you?
Our website is foundherllc.com. If candidates want to reach out to us, they can sign up as job seekers. If clients want to reach out to us, we have an employer tab as well. We have social media, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. And we're very active on all four. So we're always putting out thought leadership as well, doing seminars, you know, monthly. So there's a lot of avenues to reach out to us, but I think the best way is just to look at our website, foundherllc.com.
Well, I thank you both for coming on and sharing this. And Runa and Jasmine, kudos to you both. And I look forward to seeing how many more people after hearing this call and contact you. I would imagine that you've certainly inspired a lot of people listening today. So thank you.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate it. Again, Runa Knapp and Jasmine Silver, the co-founders of Found Her, Recruiting with a Purpose here on WICC. One more time with the website. It's foundherllc.com. I feel like there's been a lot of local stories in the news recently about fires in Connecticut. We were just talking in our news this week about the Hamden fire, which was awful. We started the week off with that, and we learned overnight that the fire that was at the Town Walk Drive apartment complex, which, by the way, displaced over 30 people, had to do with a portable cooking burner that was left on one of the decks. And so, you know, we're seeing a lot of these fires happening. Luckily, people are getting out. And I will say this is the good news portion of all those stories. No one's really getting hurt because they have smoke detectors that are functioning. But that's not always going to be the case, which is why we like to do frequent check-ins with our fire officials across our listening area. And probably one of my favorites, I know I'm a little biased, but I do love Fire Chief Lance Edwards out of the city of Bridgeport, who joins us now with some just kind of fire safety 101, a little refresher course today. Hey, Chief Edwards, how are you?
Very good. Good morning, Melissa. How is everything?
I can't complain. Although I will ask you, Chief Edwards, because I would love your expertise on this. So we have a 4.5-year-old, and recently his school, his preschool, did some very, very basic fire stuff, like don't touch the fire in your fireplace, don't touch the fire out of a candle, you know, things like that. But he sort of prompted me with, well, Mom, what if there were a fire in the house? And I thought I handled it really well, Chief Edwards. And I'm not saying this so people can now call me and be like, you're the worst mom ever. I really thought I crushed this. I was like, all right, we're going to go about this, making this very chill, because it's not going to happen. We're going to be fine. And I thought I went about it really nicely. But I said to him, you know, hey, we have plans. Dad and I have plans in place. It's not going to happen. But if it did, this is where you're going to go. This is how we're going to respond. It's fine. We're good. It's cool. Yeah, the kid had nightmares for like a good week because all he kept thinking was, how do I know where the fire is in the house and which way do I go? So needless to say, I'm going to come to that in a second and ask you, how do you have this conversation when we talk about fire escapes? How do you start to incorporate that where you don't give your kids nightmares? Because I clearly went about it somehow the wrong way. And I'm sure I do that oftentimes. But we'll get to that in a second, I think.
Melissa, I don't think you went about it the wrong way. Based on what you just described, I think you did nail it. I think it's important that people have a plan in place prior to an emergency, and it's also important to review that plan so that when something does arise, the child is accustomed to knowing which direction he should go or she should go when they exit their bedroom and where the meeting place should be. So I think you did nail it. I think the most important thing is to revisit that plan and make sure that everyone in the home is comfortable with it. And that's during the day and at night also.
Okay. So it may, you know, like that's kind of in like the label at the bottom when you hear those commercials that's like, hey, try this drug, but it could cause this, 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 and this. Go over your plans no matter how nicely, but it could cause nightmares. Like that's that could happen.
Well, you always run that risk. Still, you want your child to at least have an idea that his parents or her parents are looking out for their well-being and have devised a plan in case there is an emergency in their home. And especially know that there is a meeting place. That's probably the most important thing, is that the child understands where they need to meet their parents in case there is an emergency.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's another thing that I wanted to discuss, which is the importance of smoke detectors, because one of our detectors actually went off the other day. We forgot to put the fan on in the kitchen and the smoke, you know, hit it, you know, just perfectly. And so it went off. So we had the conversation again with the kid. I swear he's been very focused on fires lately. But let's talk about smoke detectors, because I do know that like that the American Red Cross, they're partnering up with New Haven this month, installing detectors for free in people's homes. I know Bridgeport has their own program where they will install, I think, throughout the year. The importance of smoke detectors in the home and also how easy it is, I guess, to install them on your own even?
It is. I will say here in the city of Bridgeport, we have a program that has been running and been very successful since 2005, where we actually go out and install the detectors. So we will not hand a detector to any resident because, unfortunately, we understand that people have busy lives and they put it down on a cocktail table and they say they'll get to it. And unfortunately, sometimes they never do. Mm. So we actually go out and we install the detector and we walk around the resident schedule. So when you believe that you're going to be free for us to come to your home and install the detector, it only takes 10, 15 minutes, and we'll install them throughout your home, throughout your apartment. And we also install carbon monoxide. So we have dual detectors that we instituted into our program about 5 years ago. Because not only is smoke detectors important, it's also important that we have some type of carbon monoxide detection as well.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's because I don't know. I know we focus a lot on smoke detectors, which I think very, very important, obviously. But carbon monoxide poisoning is a very serious thing. More than 150 people a year die in the U.S. from usually accidental non-fire-related CO poisoning, which is awful.
That is correct. And Melissa, you've done your homework. I'm proud.
Thank you. Well, I said that you're one of my favorite fire chiefs. I learn an awful lot from you. So, there you go. Proof is in the pudding.
So carbon monoxide to the fire service is known as its silent killer because it's colorless and odorless. So if you do have lethal doses of carbon monoxide in your home, you're not going to know. And usually it occurs overnight while you're sleeping. And the good thing about this discussion that we're having today, usually carbon monoxide incidents occur during the cold weather months. Usually it's caused from your heating appliances. So it's nice that we have this discussion during the warm months so we have time for people to absorb the information, go out and either purchase the carbon monoxide detectors, or if you're a City of Bridgeport resident, call the fire department at 203-335-8835, and we will certainly come out and install the smoke and carbon monoxide detectors. But the fact that it's colorless and odorless is very scary because you just don't know if there's a carbon monoxide leak in your home unless you have this detection system in it.
Bridgeport Fire Chief Lance Edwards is here. We're talking Fire Safety 101. We were just kind of getting a deeper dive into CO2 detectors, which, Chief Edwards, I don't care if I get some hate calls on this one. Sorry if I sound dumb. What is the difference between CO and CO2? I know one is monoxide, one is dioxide, but you'll hear CO detectors, CO2 detectors, the combined. What is the difference, and do you need a detector for each?
Now, carbon monoxide is really the killer. That's the one that's actually created from any type of fossil-like fuel. So the fuels that you burn in your home, whether it be coal, oil, or natural gas, emit carbon monoxide. CO2 is typically found outside. So there's really no reason for you to worry about CO2 in your home. It's carbon monoxide that you need to be concerned with inside of your home. And that's basically from any fossil-like fuel that's burned, and it's incomplete combustion that creates carbon monoxide.
Okay, so am I just a dope? Why do I always feel like they're called CO2 detectors?
No, they're carbon monoxide detectors.
Huh. I feel like I've always been like, yeah, we've got our smoke detectors and our CO2 detectors. Maybe I'm just an idiot. And that's fine. I have no problem admitting that. Okay. Are there combined detectors, though, for both?
Not to my knowledge. I don't believe there's a carbon monoxide / carbon dioxide detector.
Okay. I wasn't sure. Okay. I just figured I'd ask. Go for it.
So you talked earlier about some of the symptoms related to carbon monoxide poisoning.
Yes.
So basically, this is why I think it's important to have this discussion in the middle of the beginning of the summer months, because they're very flu-like. So basically, people will complain about dizziness, confusion, nausea, headaches, something very similar to what you would exhibit if you were going through a flu. And usually, the flu season is around October, and that's typically when we spark up our home heating appliances to keep the home warm. And that's when you would typically start to exhibit these types of symptoms. And that's why it's important to have the carbon monoxide detectors in the home, just to make sure that you're not exhibiting carbon monoxide symptoms. And it is truly a flu-like symptom. So basically, they're flu-like dizziness, nausea, headaches, and some types of confusion.
And I'm curious as well, do you recommend people bring a portable CO detector on vacation?
It really depends on where you're going. So if you're going somewhere in the middle of, say, the winter, where you know they're going to be running the heat, if you have it, I would. And to be honest with you, I would say before you even make your reservations, do a little bit of research to see if the hotel or that you're staying in provides carbon monoxide detectors in their room, because there may be state laws that require the hotels to provide that type of detection for their customers. So I would do a little bit of research before you make the reservations. So this way you don't have to worry about traveling with a detector.
Oh, interesting. Okay. But haven't we seen before, Chief Edwards, I think it was recently, maybe in the last year or two, where a family of four went to a Sandals or something, and when they were switching shifts or something like that, the housekeeping forgot to, I guess, update the battery or something in the CO detector. I believe they all died. Don't quote me.
Yes, and unfortunately, when you travel to these beautiful islands, the fire regulations are not the same as what you would deal with here in the United States. Sometimes they have a tendency to be a little lax in that. So if you were going to travel abroad, then it may be a good idea. But if you're traveling within the continental United States, I would do a little bit of research to find out if the hotel that you're staying in doesn't provide that, then you would there'd be no need for you to travel with that detector. But of course, if you're traveling to a tropical island, if you have that type of detector already, why not? It's just one extra layer of protection for you and your family.
Yeah, certainly. Well, Fire Chief Lance Edwards, I always appreciate having you on the show. And by the way, you always make me feel like I'm not the worst ever. So thank you for that. But I appreciate your tips always. And I'm sure I'll be talking to you really soon.
Sure. So Melissa, I'd love to come back in a couple of months, say a month and a half, to talk about some of the dangers associated with grilling, fireworks, because 4th of July will be here before you know it.
Oh, Chief Edwards, you have an open invitation. You can literally show up whenever you want. I mean, I don't know why you'd come on at 5 just because most normal people are sleeping, but you can come on whenever you want. So no problem. That sounds great. Excellent. I look forward to having you back on the show before 4th of July weekend. And again, Chief Edwards, thank you for what you do and for all firefighters. We so appreciate you.
Not a problem. Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you. You too. And that, again, is the fire chief in Bridgeport, Chief Lance Edwards, here on WICC. We learned that a new state-of-the-art library has opened up in Bridgeport, and it's different than your traditional library. So to give us more of the information on the Beardsley Library, we have branch manager Anna Narovska, who is here today to give us a little insight and sort of take us inside what it's like to be at the Beardsley Library. Anna, welcome to the show. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me, Melissa.
I'm glad to have you here. Tell us about the Beardsley Library. What makes it so different?
So we are the newest library location in Bridgeport. And altogether now we have 6 locations. So that's really exciting. But one of what's different from other libraries here in Bridgeport is that we are a more technology-focused library. We do have still wonderful book collection. We do have, we mostly focus on new and popular collection, but our focus is more on technologies. And right now we have all different spaces as anywhere else. We have a great collection for adults, for teens, for children. But we also have a great space that it's filled with many public computers to use for patrons. So for the size of the locations, right now we have over 30 public computers, and we are still adding more. And we also have a different technologies. Obviously, we have a copier, we have a faxing, we have a public scanner. But we are also, we are in process of developing two studio spaces to be used for podcasting and other media production. So this is really exciting for all of us here in Bridgeport, for the staff, for the community, because this is something new, something that we don't have in Bridgeport yet.
I don't think it's in most
libraries.
Right. I was going to say, I don't think this is in most libraries, Anna. I've never heard of such a technologically advanced place. And what's interesting is, you know, libraries, not to say that they are for an older demographic, but, you know, I feel like even parents my age are usually like buying books on Amazon, or they're going to a bookstore and they're buying the kids the books, because we live in an instant gratification kind of a society. Whereas when I was growing up 30 years ago, we lived at the library. And so the people who still frequent it and still get their library cards, I feel like a lot of the times is an older demographic. And so it's interesting, like, how have people adjusted to having less books, you know, books in your hands per se, and more tech options?
Exactly. So this is what our patrons want. Like, our patrons now, they come to libraries. We have patrons of all ages. They do check out books. They still love to hold a book and borrow. We have the great materials, but they are also asking for other things. They're asking to use computers. They're asking for computer assistance. They are asking for resume writing assistance.
Yeah.
They are asking for computer classes, because our librarians are in training, and we teach classes. We teach classes on resume writing. And that's why podcasting and audio production has been so popular. And this way we want to reach out to nonprofit organizations, families, and the community, so they can try those technologies, because not many of us have the equipment at home.
Right. So, I feel like this is making the library cool again.
Exactly. That's what we want to accomplish.
I think you are, Anne. I mean, you caught my eye, and I know you've caught several other news outlets' eyes with this. I know it opened back in mid-March, but it's just a really neat concept of the library. Now, help me to understand, if you're not a tech-savvy person, are there still there? It sounds like you have enough staff there to really help people and guide them to the resources they need.
Yes. Yeah, so at all of our locations, our staff are pretty good with computers and assisting with resume writing or anything that people need to help them. And we do can help them. But we also have a digital navigator program. So if somebody needs longer time, let's say if you like to meet with our digital navigators longer, you can make an appointment. And at all of our six locations, we have library staff who are digital navigators. And when you make appointment with them, they can actually guide you and help you to even teach you how to use your own devices or spruce up your tech skills. So we do that. And for longer, if you need more help, so you definitely will have to make appointment with one of our staff. And we do get appointments on a daily basis.
That's
at
amazing.
At all of our six locations. So it's really great.
It is really great. And again, the Beardsley Library is located at 2536 East Main Street in Bridgeport. It is now open to the public. What is your number, Anna, if people want to call, make an appointment, or just want to come check it out?
Yes, definitely. So our phone number, main phone number, is 203-332-0025. So definitely we are open 6 days a week. We are open Mondays and Wednesdays, 10 to 6, Tuesdays, Thursdays, 12 to 8, and Fridays and Saturdays, 10 to 5. So we are open, and anybody can come and check us out. And if somebody will need a computer assistance, they can call and make appointment with our digital navigator. And, so it's really exciting about the media spaces and studio spaces. And we are hoping we will get, as we speak, we are ordering equipment. So we are hoping maybe by the end of the summer or middle of the summer, we will be able to have the studio spaces. It's
so exciting. Yeah, it's just so exciting. And so if you want to check out the Beardsley Library, be sure to go into Bridgeport and see what's going on there, and new additions still coming down the pipeline in a matter of months. And Anna Narofska, the branch manager there, I thank you so much for giving us the inside scoop on everything we can experience once you walk through the doors of the Beardsley Library. And thank you so much for what you do there.
Thank you so much for having us, and everyone can just stop by and visit us. I always say, when you come visit any of our location in person, you never know what you're going to find.
Clearly.
Because you're looking for a book, but then you're going to stumble upon a book. I was like, wow, this is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And you never know when maybe you're going to attend a magic show, or maybe you're going to spruce up, wanted to attend one of our computer classes. So definitely, please come and visit us.
Yeah, the possibilities truly are endless, and this is really such a non-traditional version of the library. Like I said, it's making the library cool again, which is really neat. The Beardsley Library, which is on East Main Street in Bridgeport, open to the public now. And Anna, thank you so much for all the details.
Thank you so much for having me, Melissa.
Absolutely. And again, the Beardsley Library right here in Bridgeport on WICC.